You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey friends, if you've been listening to Star Wars Hangout and you enjoy the show, then we humbly beg thee to hit the subscribe button and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really does help the show grow, and honestly, your support means the world to us. So if you can spare a few moments and hook us up with a positive review, we'd be super grateful. May the Force be with you. Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lottie.
And we are back with Ahsoka Season 1, Episode 3. We've got listener thoughts, theories, much, much more. Honestly, a big jam-packed episode today. But before we get to that, let's get into some shout-outs, some life updates. We do have a major listener transmission that I want to get to. So, but here's the deal. Life has been a little bit crazy for us. It's weird. Like, they throw some of my favorite stuff right at the beginning of the school year, and they're like, you're gonna love Ahsoka, but guess what? You and your wife are gonna go back and start teaching, and we're gonna dangle this Ahsoka carrot out there, and you're gonna want to talk about it all the time, but you're gonna be super busy too. Okay. Yeah. What is the universe trying to do to me? It's nuts. I don't know. So what's been going on?
Trying to help you grow. That's how I always tell myself. Yep. It's just a challenge for me, and you know, universe knows that I can take on that challenge.
Yes. So. I mean, yes. Like, that does seem to be the case, right? When you start to do something new or you're starting to work on something, all of a sudden it says, hey, here you go. Let's drop a bomb on you real quick. And let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. I decided earlier this week that I was going to train like Sabine.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to train.
Blind.
I went into the workout routine blind. I was like, visor down. I got this. Don't worry. And guys, all Friday, and we're recording this on a Saturday, I was walking around school and people are like, Mr. Kirk, you okay? Like, I'm like limping because I guess I think I'm a young man and I can still get after it. I'm an old wizard. You know what I mean? And I have shin splints.
How hilarious. I was going to say, how hilarious is it that you tried to train like Sabine, but now you've got shin splints?
Oh, my shin.
Shin just came and said, nope.
Boom. She kicked me in the shin.
Yeah.
Shin kicked me in the shin. Shin scares me also a little bit. Yeah. I told you this. She has got eyes just sort of
stare.
Like, whoa. So, yeah, anyways, ironically, I have like, and it's got to be, I was talking to the run coach, and I've, you know, you wake up, you're like, okay, you're motivated by Ahsoka, new school year, and it's also like September 1st was coming, and I was like, new month, new me, baby, here we go, I'm going to hit this, and go to the gym, do all the different things, and my God, it hurts so bad, it is a throbbing pain right now in my right leg, and it's just not. You think shin splints are on the front of your leg? Mm-hmm. They can also be on the inside, down towards the ankle, in a place that I didn't realize, and I was like freaking out about it. So that's the update with me. I do want to say that Lottie and Hu Yang would be best friends. I realized that in this episode because he is off. What is his default is standard Jedi operating procedure, right? And I, being a veteran teacher, sometimes I'm like telling Lottie, like, hey, look, cut this corner, do this thing. I mean, that's what you got to do. Like, just get straight to the point here. And you are following the standard operating teaching procedures. And it's great because you're an amazing teacher. But it's a lot of work.
Wow. It is a ton of work. And especially if it's your, you know, first year teaching for me, it's a new subject. I used to teach English. Yeah. Now I teach German and still foreign language, but it's all new material, new classes, new system. The American system is a little bit different from the German school system. So it's fun. You're right. It's funny that you wrote this down because I thought you were going to say something totally different.
Oh, really?
Because I love Hu Yang. He's cool. And he's a character that you can, I mean, yes, we saw last episode, or first episode, where Ahsoka was like, Hu Yang, where are you? You know, like, it's not always great to follow the protocol because, I mean, she almost got into that explosion and
oh, yeah.
I mean, thank goodness he was right there when, oh, yeah. you know, he needed to be, but
right.
He's someone who's been around, who knows the Jedi. I mean, droids are so great because they yeah. have all these databases you can run through and they help you and they mm-hmm. give you advice. But they're also like, you know, you need that human touch, like the Ahsoka decision that you make. Okay, right now we cannot follow the protocol.
Yeah.
Shut him down for a second because uh-huh. we need to.
Yeah.
But when you need, you know, like most of the time they're there to help you, to give you that backup, that confidence. Like Chopper, for example, for Hera, he's more like a friend. She loves Chopper. Chopper is her companion, so.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I think Hu Yang is hilarious, even though, I mean, he's very direct. You would probably say he's very German.
Yeah, he is.
He's very blunt with Sabine, and it right now doesn't help her much.
So is that what you thought I was going to say? Is that
I thought you were going to make that reference. He's so German. Even though I am not a very blunt German, all my friends would say, you talk around, you know, like,
We call it beating around the bush.
Yes, you beat around the bush a lot for a German, but you would say no, you're very direct.
Yeah, it's funny. Trust me, friends, I have met Lottie's friends, and like they will just tell you straight up what they are, what's no filter. Yes. Anyways,
What I also wanted to say is that, you know, we said it was starting the year with Ahsoka and everything was a challenge, but it also helped you make that decision to merge your YouTube channels into one.
Yes.
And I wish you guys could have seen how happy that made Ez to finally have that channel where you can drop Star Wars, Harry Potter, and any other content.
Yep.
Because he is a lore master. Unfortunately, the name lore master was already taken. So it ended up being Master Badger.
Badger.
And it's literally a badger holding a lightsaber. Hufflepuff badger holding a lightsaber. So, yes.
Which is huge. Awesome. And also, friends, I mean, Master Badger has an apprentice named Starcat, just so you know. And she's sitting across from me. And that is your co-host, Lottie. I love it. We were just bouncing around names and ideas. And it's so crazy. Like, we're talking about, you know, all the me kind of like starting, like working out. And then all of a sudden, I get kicked in the shins.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're like, okay, that doesn't mean to stop that thing. So you meet some of these barriers along the way and like some frustrations that the universe or whatever throws at you. And I then was thinking about making the shift, and I'm trying to like double post on both different channels and post the podcast and do all these different things. And it's so funny that once you make a decision like this and then you feel the peace that you're like, wow, this is so much better for me as a person. Yeah. I can actually do more and reach out to like our patrons, post more content there and just be a better community builder in person. Then it's everything I wanted.
Yeah.
So it's really nice, and it does feel really good. And it's good for our Jedi family. It's good for our wizarding family. It's just good in general. And so wanted to kind of give you guys that update in case you check it out. And we'll be, you know, featuring some comments from that channel. And we've got people who write us in to both Shell Cottage Radio and Star Wars Hangout. It's just huge.
Not to confuse you guys, the podcast will still be their own things. Just the YouTube is merged. Yeah. And so YouTube is one thing. And then we have our two podcasts that kind of accompany our fandoms we are in, like the main two fandoms we're in.
Yeah. And that was always, you know, because I've always done super niche things in terms of like, okay, super niche on the podcast. And then when I go to YouTube, I keep that super niche piece. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to because there are playlists there. Yeah. There are things that anybody can go kind of check out. If you don't like the thing that creator posts that day, whatever, go to the next video and click on it. And there's a little bit of a fear that comes over you to kind of like say like, how do I adjust that? How do I make that work? And it's a process. It's life, you know, you learn things along the way. And so, yes, not to confuse you, but Star Wars Hangout continues as a podcast, and then it's also posted on YouTube. So anybody who's watching or listening over on YouTube, you guys will get this experience, if that makes sense. And there's also Shell Cottage Radio posted there as well. And who knows what the future will bring? I mean, honestly, I was watching Wheel of Time here recently, and I've got Wheel of Time shorts that I'm going to be churning out, because that's a great series. So Ez is into a lot of different things, and I was born with this noggin for a reason. It just remembers a lot of crazy stuff from lore, and I'm driving to work thinking about Sabine and Ahsoka and what's going down and all these theories.
Yeah.
It's just wild. It's wild.
Give us the theories.
So some big topics today. Is Sabine Force sensitive? You're like, wait a second, we've talked about that. Mm-hmm. But we're going to talk about midichlorian count. We're going to talk about things from Legends. We're really going to kind of dive into what's actually going on there. And I think the fandom's been in a bit of an uproar over this and wondering, what does George Lucas think? And how does the Force work? Who has the Force? If everyone, I mean, she posed the great question today, which is like, if everyone has the Force, then why doesn't everyone use it? And so we'll dive into more of that. We've got like, is Baylan Skull Qui-Gon Jinn's first apprentice? Cameron, who you've heard a couple weeks back or last week, I believe, messaged me and just said out of the blue, is he? He just like sticks me with this question, like, is he Qui-Gon Jinn's first apprentice? And wow. I'm like, hey, before Obi-Wan? Could be. Okay. Maybe. I don't know. Like, we have no...
Were there rumors that Qui-Gon Jinn had another apprentice?
Apprentice? He did. In Legends, he had an apprentice before Obi-Wan. So there's there's a basis for that, actually. And I can tell you guys more about it and go from there. But also we have like, who is Morok? Or Morok.
Right.
However Shin says it. It sounds cooler when she says it. Who is that? Is that Luke from is that a clone of Luke? Is that Starkiller? Is that someone else that we know or don't know? Yeah, we'll get into that. And we've got Jason Syndulla.
Yay!
He looks awesome, and we have a lot to say there. We also have Jedi training forms, Zatachi?
Yeah.
Or Zatochi?
Yeah.
Maybe, I'm not sure how to say it, but either way there, it was really cool to see them dive into that. And then Harrison Dula, problems with the Republic, and then we've got Lottie's additional thoughts on Grogu and Sabine. And you kind of said, like, I'm not so sure I want to, you know, like, we're thinking about the age of those characters, how they age, and where this is all going. And I am going to tell you right now, I have thoughts for you later when we get to that.
Okay.
So
sounds great.
Before we get into all that, though, friends, the sponsor of the show, InSabers, don't forget to check them out. They've got an awesome collection of lightsabers. We do get a commission if you guys click on that link down in our description, or it's over my link tree, and you get about, I think it's like 7% off if you use the code Star Wars Hangout. And we've actually been there sale after sale after sale. Like, Ahsoka's just, I mean, I'm like shocked. I'm like, people are in, click that, go ahead and get yourself some, you know, a percentage off, and then go get a sick lightsaber, because I have one and they're awesome.
I mean, honestly, it's the coolest thing to light that or ignite that lightsaber.
Yeah.
Even though some of my cousins, remember, we showed them that, like, we brought the lightsaber to Germany to show them. And even though my girl cousins are all not into Star Wars,
right,
they thought it was so cool.
So cool.
I mean,
and
the guys were freaking out. They're like,
Yeah, because you're holding it and you're like, this is legit. Yeah.
And they look so cool. I mean,
they're awesome. The one thing, though, if you're going there and you're kind of confused about it, the NeoPixel lightsabers are more expensive.
Yeah.
But you got me a NeoPixel.
Yes.
Like, it's a type of how it's illuminated.
Right.
And it illuminates in a way that is super realistic and really cool, especially if you do it in the dark.
And it makes the sound effects.
Oh, my gosh. So if you get a chance through InSabers, they have those as well. They do cost a little bit more, but if you're wondering, you know, if it's worth spending the money to get that, it is. It's good. It's good stuff. So, okay.
Yeah, if you're really into Star Wars, it's...
Also, if you're just getting this for a young Padawan or whatever, and they're going to be swinging around and knocking people out with it, then also they have great, like, also lower end stuff that looks amazing. So for Halloween's coming up too, so I'll get you one. But hey, so Jedi Masters, Kayla, Amanda, Arna, and Andrew, you guys are freaking awesome. Love you guys. And we do have Jedi Council. I sent them a message. Shirts. I asked them for sizes. They're coming out. As soon as they get their size back, we have them, and we are sending them out to you guys. I'm pumped about it because I think they're amazing people, and they always send me, you know, thoughts and just things on the show, and it's huge. Like today, we've got Jedi Master Andrew's thoughts.
Can't wait to hear it.
Stuff. I know. Yeah, same.
He always got really good thoughts.
Oh yeah, he kills it. And this one's good. So, there's some things in there that I think are gonna like kind of blow Lottie away a little bit. And remember, Lottie is someone who comes into this, and we're kind of guiding her through the fandom. And there's things that she's picked up. It's so good to get that perspective and ask questions that I wouldn't ask, even if they don't make sense. Because and I say that in such a nice way, because some people come in and you would ask a question like, just about Shin and like, oh, because, okay, so I've heard people say, like, was Shin around during Order 66.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a fair question for somebody coming into the fandom who doesn't know the timelines and understand things. Yeah. If you're not looking into that on a daily basis, they don't come out and say what year this is exactly.
Right.
Right. You kind of need to be invested in the fandom to understand where that's at and the age of all these characters and their relationship to other things. So never feel bad about like sending a transmission asking a question like that, because Ez is never going to be like, well, you should have known. You should know this stuff, buddy. No, that's a gatekeeper, and I'm out on that kind of stuff. Okay, so that is that. Now let's dive into some of these things. Just in general, I think my thoughts, and we'll go to Lottie just in terms of what the show, like our reaction was to the show. This is episode 3. I loved it. It is, for some people, they're going to say, well, it's a little bit slower. We have a whole scene where Ahsoka just walks around and taps Sabine with a stick. I loved it.
Listen to the sounds and the music and the build-up. Yeah.
Wow. You guys, it's just like something that Dave Filoni did in Rebels really well was just slowly pull. Like we have moments of action, and then we have these moments where we sit with the characters and we really start to understand them more, and we just spend quality time with them, right? And they just are who they are, and we just get to know them. That you need that. Sometimes I feel like things are when they talk about pacing and things being paced too quickly.
Right.
That's what they're talking about, is that we don't get enough time to invest in those characters. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Dave Filoni is a master at this, because it's time to slow down. It's different doing a TV show. He's done TV shows though, right? So on the animated level, he's done Clone Wars, he's done Rebels, he's got history, he's got experience doing this kind of thing. And so now it's just live action. And I can see some of those elements sort of trickling over into how he's running and managing the show.
Yeah.
And to me, I loved it. So,
yeah.
But I tend to be very positive on Star Wars in general. So,
what did you think of the title, Time to Fly?
Time to Fly. Oh, I didn't even realize that. Okay, so, I mean, definitely we have the fighter.
Right, there's a long scene where they fly a lot.
Yeah, yeah. But it's also time to kind of fly in terms of like to take off the training wings, I guess. I don't know.
Give you a little, you know, a little baby bird.
Yeah.
It's time to fly finally.
Out the nest.
After, yes.
Right, right. And you so know, that's.
Which is Sabine, but
yeah.
You know, you start training her to be her own Jedi, her own fighter, her own. She doesn't always, I mean, they're master and Padawan, so they do rely on each other, but you want to give her wings to.
Yes.
Be out on her own to you know.
Oh my gosh.
They always said you'd be dead now. Because she's like, well, not if I could see.
Right.
Yeah, that's the point.
That's the point. Yeah.
You need to see, but not with your eyes.
Yep. So, yep. No, yeah. That's a great point. A great question. I mean, it's like that title does tell us a lot. And I was just thinking of a connection to Legends, to the Thrawn trilogy, that this is kind of the Heir to the Empire trilogy. And that's something Leia is going through during Legends. Han Solo is often asking Luke to train her. He's like, if you would just train her to be a Jedi, then she could handle anything that comes her way.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, train her up. And then Luke is sitting there going, like, am I ready to be a master? Can I train somebody? Mm-hmm. So Ahsoka is kind of going through that same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Is she ready for the pressures of being a master?
Yeah.
Kanan, same thing. Was he ready for that? Obi-Wan, was he ready for it?
You know, I mean,
it's when your first apprentice, your first students come in, are you ready for that pressure?
That's deep, and I'm going to tell you something later.
Okay.
That I don't want to say on the podcast, but
yeah, right. I mean, it's a thing, right? It is something, and I think about that in terms of teaching as well. Like, it's like, wow, okay, hold on a second. There's a lot to be learned, and there's, you know, I think some people would say, well, I wish my master was more experienced, or I wish they would have had other students so that way I got a better training. You learn so much from that master.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not they are super experienced or what have you.
Yeah.
Yes, it you have to kind of handle and deal with the circumstances that you're in and what the universe, where it's put you, and make the best of it, right?
Yeah.
We all are kind of charged with that. It's our life, and we have to move forward in those conditions.
And you would think someone like Hu Yang, who can do calculations and who can kind of like rate Sabine's skill level and say she's not ready for what was it called again,
the Jedi train, Zatachi,
Zatachi,
yeah,
but Ahsoka, she's the human, she says no, I think it's time.
Yeah, it's time.
I think she needs to learn what the Force is all about.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And it's not about seeing with your eyes.
There's a failure element to it, right?
Yeah.
Because she's your, I guess, like, Huyang also is, he's looking at, like you said, very calculated, and Ahsoka is willing to let her fail.
Yeah.
And is willing to teach her through failure and push her beyond where standard Jedi operating procedures would allow.
Yes.
And also because of necessity.
Right.
Where we're headed. I mean, we're headed into a battle situation where it's very important that we accelerate your training. That yeah. happens on the hero journey quite a bit, which yeah. is the hero, because of necessity, because of the need out there, we're forced to, yes. to kind of step up and meet the moment, if you will. Mm-hmm. So that's a good point. Okay, so let's some of these big topics then. I'm just going to ask the question, and mm-hmm. we'll kind of see where it takes us. But is Sabine Force sensitive? I thought those mugs, by the way, that she was trying to pull with the Force were huge. I posted a story in which I said, are they selling those?
I know, they look so cool.
They look so good. I was talking to Tino. I was talking to, I think it was Kayla, Arna, a couple other folks. It's like, yeah, these are really solid, right? I mean, like, if anybody sees them for sale out there, let me know, because I think I'd like to hook Lottie up for her birthday with some of those. They were nice mugs. And the it comes down to everyone has the Force. The Force is in all living things. We know that.
Yeah.
And people have been confused by this because they're like, well, we didn't see anything, you know, prior to where she was Force sensitive. And Huyang even says, like, she would have never been picked up by the Jedi Order.
Right.
The Jedi would never have said, hey, she's a candidate. We should bring her to the temple. Yes, I see a hand. Go ahead.
Oh, my. Yeah. That reminds me so much of the book and the list that Hogwarts keeps for, you know, how much everyone kind of has. There's a spectrum of your magical abilities.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And how yeah, sensitive. It's almost like, yeah, sensitive you yeah. are to magic. And I mean, they kind of argued the feather in the book whether they would write down Neville.
Right.
Right? And who according to powerful, one of them,
yep.
Neville would not be good enough, air quote, good yeah. enough to go to Hogwarts.
Right, right.
And see how what came, you know, right. like what kind of person he grew into.
Yeah.
And how powerful he actually is.
Exactly. That's a really good example, because you have, I wonder, yeah, like Sabine, her potential. I think some people have said, well, if she ends up being really Force sensitive and super powerful, we're going to be upset by that.
Yeah.
I won't be, because she could be blocked.
Yeah.
She could have a lot of different barriers that she has put up. Her upbringing, her culture has like sort of suppressed that thing. And, yes. and they've been, right?
Huyang said it. The Mandalorians did not. There was not a lot of Jedi among Mandalorians. Well, why? Yeah.
Why?
Is it just because they're less the genetics, or is it because of their culture, which mm-hmm. is very much like in the outside and mm-hmm. fighting with weapons? And it's less about like going inside, meditating, and connecting yourself mm-hmm. to the Force that actually is in everybody, but
right.
the culture is not there to connect to that source.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And let me double down on that.
Yes.
Because when you look at the Mandalorian and you look at Din Djarin and what he's doing, they want to walk, like, this is, when they say this is the way, mm-hmm. the way of Mandalore, they're talking about an ancient way. They're talking about things that are more values and a code and ethics, like sort of things that are focused on sort of who you are as a person inside.
Yeah.
Not the armor, not all the gadgets, not all the different things, mm-hmm. right? I mean, even though the helmet's sort of a thing, right? But yeah. there is something there that it makes sense that there were a few Jedi who popped up in Mandalorian history because they were closer to the way, if you will, or they walked that way. And now it's sort of gotten into, I mean, just it's all about their armor and what's on the outside. Yeah. And like you said, they're more focused on, it's gotten modernized.
Materialistic things. Yeah.
Right. And so now you see Sabine being forced to look inward, to not rely on, like when she goes back to the gun, she goes back to mm-hmm. the, and she's fighting when they get in the actual fight. She's like, where are my presets? She had all these presets that she was used to relying upon. And so there's this back and forth sort of struggle between like Ahsoka thinking this is a training thing, like, hey, you know, focus on your sort of your inner eye or whatever, like the Force, draw upon it, use it, be intuitive, instinctive. And she's like, no, I'm more like I set these shots up and there's a procedure to do these things.
That
and
will
so
help me that will actually help her focus more.
Yeah. Right. And so then they kind of change. All of a sudden, Ahsoka's like, what do you need?
Yeah.
And so as a master, she clicks over and says, you know what? I can't train this individual the same way that I was trained or what have you. I need to actually maybe go outside of, and she mm-hmm. says later, I need her to be herself. I need to go outside of the Jedi standard procedures or the training procedures or whatever. And Huyang even says that. If you two keep acting the way that you are acting and you're kind of each going in opposite directions here, we're going to end up dead.
Yeah.
And just sort of like, that actually causes her to go, yeah, he's right. And so you lean into somebody who has all that history and experience, and you're like, yeah, I need to fine tune how I'm talking to this individual and let her be herself.
Right.
And then along that way, because we all have our own journey, our own path where in which we discover who we are. And somebody who's giving me advice, the advice that I now have, right? Like in my 30s, if somebody gave me all that advice when I was 16, 17 years old, I'm not ready to receive
right.
it.
Right. Yes.
I honestly am not. I don't care. Like, hey, listen, I'd be like, hey, old man, sorry. I'm out. And that old man is me, by the way, talking to myself. You know, it's like I would be telling myself to shut up. You don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, spiritual people often talk about frequencies and they compare it to a radio station. If you tuned into FM and you're trying to receive on AM, it's or the other way around, it doesn't work because you're not, like you said, you're not ready to receive. You're not on that same frequency, which is okay. We all have our, that's why we are on our journeys and we try to grow. And I think it was really cool when she explained, when Ahsoka explained to Sabine, yes, the Force wields or is in all of us, living things, even you. And why did Sabine ask, like you said, why doesn't everybody use it then? But she says talent is a factor. And what she's actually saying there is, you know, like talent or genetic midichlorian counts, like you said.
Oh, did you guys hear that? Lottie just dropped a midichlorian count on you guys.
Well,
wake up.
You told me what it is, though.
I know, but
but I like the idea of saying, okay, yes, some people are born with less and some people are born with way more and they have that ability that comes way easier to them. Mm-hmm. But there is a huge factor that even if you have less, it's almost like you can compare it with, to, you know, with wealth or whatever you want. Some people are just born with more and some are born with less. Mm-hmm. But maybe when you're born with less and you learn how to utilize and maximize what you can get out of the little things
that
you have. And you might end up appreciating it more. Mm-hmm. You know, same with the midichlorians. You learn how to use the smaller amount that you have well and focus on it. And she said it with a lot of training. And not a lot of people are willing to put in what it takes to the focus and effort and time.
Yeah, the discipline.
To learn the discipline to learn how to use the Force. Yeah.
That is well said. And that transitions me right into all these topics that are going on around the internet. And it just get in your feed and, you know, I mean, say Ahsoka a few times to your phone and get in your feed and you'll see everyone's talking about the idea that how is she able to tap into the Force? Why are we coaching and training her if she doesn't seem to be what we would label as a Force sensitive?
Mm-hmm.
And that is because that midichlorian count, regardless of how low it is, I love that we're talking about this, by the way, because it was a term that was going to be trashed and no one was going to ever bring it up again because they thought George was kind of crazy. But George Lucas is the creator of all of this. And he had a reason why he brought these things up and needed a mechanism to kind of talk about it. They're like receptors. You know, it's like you said with wealth or whatever it might be. Like, it's if there's more of them, then it's much easier to get there.
Yeah.
And the path to the Force, as you said, could almost be taken for granted a little bit. Because you're like, pretty easy to tap into. I'm good.
Yeah.
Whereas if Sabine took years of mastering this and discipline and disciplined her mind and used the few midichlorians maybe that she has, but then can use them in a way that no one else understands because she has great discipline of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. And that that then goes back to the Mandalorian culture and how disciplined they are and their culture. Sure. She's bringing a whole different perspective into that.
Yeah.
So that to me is amazing. For example, I heard a big Star Wars content creator the other day say something about Obi-Wan Kenobi. And he said that, well, Obi-Wan Kenobi doesn't have a whole lot of midichlorians. First of all, let me just check that statement real quick. Obi-Wan does have a lot. He was found by the Jedi. He does. When you look at the old charts and you see sort of like who had what, Obi, according to whether it's a fan thing or not, like Disney does have some resource out there from 2016 that does have a midichlorian chart. I mean, Chewbacca is even on that chart. And he has 7,200. Yeah, right. So Anakin had over 20,000. That is said in Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Over 20,000. And Qui-Gon says no Jedi in history
had ever
had a midichlorian account that high.
Yeah.
they could test it. Not even Master Yoda had had a midichlorian count that high, right? So when you look at this resource, people have tried to add numbers to different people. And what a lot of them have come to is that Obi-Wan was around 13,000. Kit Fisto is around 11,000. Ki-Adi-Mundi is around 10,000. Luke Skywalker is around 14,000. So just 1,000 or so more than Obi-Wan. And that's, again, based off of a resource that whether it's canon or not, I don't freaking know. And I've never really seen a chart that actually throws out from Disney or from George.
Like an official statement.
Yeah, here's a list with the exact numbers. That's something you just don't do. You leave it to the fans to kind of let it be subjective and don't put a concrete number to it. Although they put that Anakin is over 20,000. So it does give us some sort of reference point to go off of. That is high. And so where does everybody else sort of fall on that spectrum? And so if you're looking at him at 20,000, you could say Sabine is what? 2,000? 1,000? 500? Yeah. What's a low end force sensitive like her? Is it 5, 10? I don't really know. And I don't think anybody really knows. There's really not a number. They're never going to come out and kind of, I think, identify or label if you will. But this old resource, and I'll put a link to it for you guys. It's out. It's been out there for a while, and people have seen it. They've referenced it before. It's even got General Grievous on here. it's got Boba Fett, Han Solo, and it's so crazy. It's the likes of Boba Fett, Han Solo, Jango Fett, and even Uncle Owen are at 1,500. It's like, did somebody just make this up? And and again, it is in a book that is called, it's called Graphics, Star Wars Graphics, and it's Explore Star Wars Through Infographics. And that's all it is. Okay. And I don't know where it came from, but it is a 2016 Disney Lucasfilm thing. And I'm showing it to Lottie right here on the screen, and it's just like, wow. It says, how fast is the Star Destroyer? How big is how big is a Death Star? What is the lifespan of a Wookiee? How many people can fit inside the cantina? So it's just got some funny things in here, and it's got midichlorian count on there. And there's somebody who worked on it who said, hey, the canon on this was never confirmed. It's kind of surprised that it even got through publishing. But this is, again, right when Disney purchased it and everything, so it was kind of new. I don't think this is anything we can actually refer to and say this is canon technically, but
it's kind of mind-blowing to me right now. That sound like 2016 sounds like, oh yeah, it's not been that long, and then you look at the calendar, it's like, wow, it's been 7 years.
7 years.
oh my goodness,
right? Yeah. I know, crazy. It's actually crazy. But so anyway, that's out there, and I just wanted folks to kind of understand more about midichlorians, that they're really, it's like, yeah, there's extra receptors that might make it easier. And then even if Obi-Wan, and again, this creator said that Obi-Wan, even if he has less than Anakin, he had trained himself to such discipline, and he had such good training, and he could control his mind, and he could really, so with far less, he was able to match the chosen one.
Yeah.
He's able to defeat his apprentice. And Vader will say to him later, when I left you, I was but the learner. Yeah. Now I am the master. And yet again, Obi-Wan had mastered something beyond his understanding, right? And because he was connected in a way to the Force that his student was not and could not comprehend at the time because of the dark side. But so yeah, there's that. I don't think that the midichlorian count, it's the gateway to connecting to the Force. So the more you have, the easier it is to connect. But that doesn't mean that if you have fewer, that you can't connect to it and channel a whole bunch of power through and use it in ways that nobody else would anticipate. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, quick question that's kind of off topic, but I love Obi-Wan, the character. And is there a book or something that talks about his childhood and how he was found by the Jedi Order?
Oh my goodness. So
that question came in. We didn't plan this or anything.
I love when you just throw out. Yeah. So, okay. There is something I read as a kid that I loved, absolutely loved, was the Jedi Apprentice books. And I have them at school for kids. I'm a reading teacher, so I sometimes am coaching kids on reading and staying things, and I have cool stuff that, you know, middle schoolers, high schoolers might like, and that's in there. And it's one of those series that I just loved. It is him when he is training at the Jedi Temple as I think he's like maybe 10 11 12 13.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think he's 13.
Okay.
And so he's training there, and he is not selected. He is not selected by a master. He is actually
So that's exactly what I was wondering, if there's something out there, because I remember we listened to that one audiobook where Kanan what's his actual
Caleb
name?
Doom.
Caleb.
Yeah.
Yes, where he is young and he looks up to Obi-Wan, and
and
got all the little younglings are like, oh my God, it's Obi-Wan.
It's Obi-Wan.
It's Master Kenobi.
Yep.
So.
Well, and so exactly, like when Obi-Wan is young and he's training and he's not picked by a master. And this is in Legends. This is not in canon. It's a great little series. He will become Qui-Gon's apprentice.
Yeah.
But it's like the Force brings them together later. Like Qui-Gon will pass on him.
Wow.
And then he's sent away to, I don't know if he's working on some farm or he was going to go to a place where Jedi who weren't chosen would go and continue to work for the Order in a way that would help, like, like harvesting crops and doing different things and stuff like that.
Like
right?
We saw in Kenobi, the series, the show.
Yeah, kind of.
Because he went away for a little bit to kind of, you know, not be... Yeah, to be undercover.
To be undercover, For him, that was more to be... This was a time where Jedi were allowed to be... could function in different ways. So, like, he was just going to continue to work for the Order in a lesser capacity, but was still going to be a part of it. So, I mean, it was like that. And then when you're not practicing and training with the Force, your Force...
Right.
You know, how you access it, and unless you continue that training, it might diminish, right? Yeah. Like, we see, like, as you said with the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, he doesn't use it. He cuts himself off from it. He withdraws from it. Master Luke Skywalker in canon in The Last Jedi, the movie, episode 8, he does the same thing. He cuts himself off from it. And so it's like, wow, you're limiting your access to the Force and you could lose some of the gains that you've made as a master or as a student or whatever. So anyway, that's a cool series. And you were talking earlier, this will transition us into the Baylan Skull.
Sorry,
topic.
I didn't want to take us too far away from the show.
ironically, it takes us right into that topic. Like, who is Baylan Skull, and is he Qui-Gon Jinn's first apprentice? And in Legends, I think it's Xantos or Xanos or something like that, and he is Qui-Gon's first apprentice who falls to the dark side.
Wow.
Falls to the dark side. And Qui-Gon, with his new apprentice, Obi-Wan, will have to face him. And they face each... And it's a... Again, this is a kid's book in Legend. Yeah. I was locked in. After Phantom Menace, I was reading that book series in the backseat, mom and dad's car, on a road trip, and I was like, get him, Obi-Wan. Like, step up, defend your master, do all these different things. Fight this guy who turned his back on Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon had to let that go. They tried to bring him back. Didn't work. I'm pretty sure that dark side apprentice ends up perishing. But the question of whether or not Qui-Gon had apprentice before... Mm-hmm. Obi-Wan, I mean, absolutely could have.
Yeah.
Absolutely could have. And could I don't know if it works out timeline.
Yeah, it feels wise, like, because Obi-Wan is pretty old years before this series takes place, right?
Yeah.
So you think,
and you're looking at Baylan thinking, like, he might be younger than in episode 4 Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Right? So it might not work, but also...
But again, it's Star Wars. We never know. They might look human. Maybe they're a different species.
Yeah, well, and also, too, you have this whole situation where Alec Guinness played an Obi-Wan that looked a lot older than really his age was. Like, if that makes sense, like, his Obi-Wan's age, he looks older in A New Hope, and really, he's not that old, if that makes sense.
Right.
But it's because of the actor who played him,
yeah.
And we compare, you know, Ewan McGregor to him now, and it just looks a little bit strange for some folks. But is it possible? I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. That would be, if they dropped that on us, I would lose my mind. I'd be like, what? This is Qui-Gon's first apprentice? Like, that would be crazy, actually. Yeah. I don't know if I would like it or not, but Cameron, again, sent it to me, and I was just sort of blown away. And he's actually messaging me live as we're on the podcast about stuff.
He knows that
How does he know I'm recording? Like, that is crazy.
That is crazy. Cameron, you're live on the show. What does he have to say?
Yeah, I'll just give it to you right now. It says, Starkiller. Okay, here we go. So, oh my God, I better save this. This is one of our questions about Marok.
Wow.
Marok.
That's our next topic.
He just transitioned us right in the next one. So, yeah, anyways, to wrap up that, you guys sent his thoughts about who Baylan Skull is. I think he was just a Jedi who was trained, who created his lightsaber. And then I don't think he experienced Order 66. I think he was away and sees the Jedi. I think he's taking the best things from it, and he sees the Jedi as failing.
But why does he have so much... Why does he believe so much in Thrawn? What does...
Great question. Because
he's like, to his apprentice, he's like, with Thrawn comes back, when he comes back, it will give us great power.
Yeah, so you're just kind of, from memory, recalling that, right, what he says?
Yeah.
Very important, Dave Filoni, like, line by line, what these characters say, the actual words, I don't have the quote in front of me, but from what I remember him saying, was more like, she says, what happens when we find Thrawn? And he says... Like, power. Like, he doesn't say... Not that Thrawn brings the power.
Okay.
And not that, like... I think he's not necessarily maybe invested in bringing Thrawn back. I'm speculating here.
Okay.
But it's sort of like gaining access to this galaxy or this portal or this pathway that's been sort of talked about in Jedi lore that he referenced. He references this pathway, that there is a power in this. And either in terms of the travel or in terms of actually going to that galaxy. Yes. What's it? You have it there?
I think this is it. It says, Skull says, for some, war. For others, a new beginning.
Yeah.
And for us, asks Shin.
Yeah.
He says, power, such as you have never dreamed.
Yeah, such as you've never... So what does he mean when he says that? Is that like them ruling over that new galaxy, going there and sort of just, hey, check this out? Or is there a power in that galaxy that will be unleashed on this one and they will have it in the palm of their hand and they can kind of control it? I don't think it's Thrawn. I think when he's talking about power, Baylan wants power. He's not here to work for... I mean, they're working to get by and to make their way in the galaxy, but they've got a different agenda. Morgan Elsbeth definitely wants to get Thrawn back. She seems more in line with, like, Thrawn is calling to me. I want Thrawn. I worked for Thrawn. Thrawn's my guy.
Yeah.
They did not work for Thrawn. Like, when Baylan was going through Order 66, he goes through Order 66, and then he's out running for his life. Maybe he partners up with Thrawn. Maybe he knows him to some degree, but he's not a part, like, I mean, Thrawn is tracking down Ezra Bridger and Kanan and Jarrus. He's fighting against them. Where is Baylan during all of that? That's where I think he's not even on the chessboard. I think Baylan's out patrolling or doing something, or was sent on a mission, hears about what happened with Order 66 and is like, I'm not coming back. Looks into it for a little bit and says, the Jedi Order is destroyed. I'm a survivor. I'm going to continue on. And now he's looking. He then finds Shin somewhere along the way and trains her. She's got the awesome little Padawan braid there. And she, as I said, I've said in previous podcasts, she innocently is always looking to him for advice. And he's a gray Jedi.
Yeah.
He's a gray Jedi. He's now like not really he's taking what he thinks are the best bits from the Jedi code and becoming more powerful. And he's leaned in to some of the things that I think Ahsoka is talking about, which is not the dark side, but he is seemingly leaning towards his own self-interest and things that, like, he's not looking to serve the galaxy, I don't feel like. He's not. The Jedi were servants and servants of peace.
Right.
And he's going for a power grab here.
Right.
I mean, he didn't necessarily say it was for them, but I feel like that's sort of what he was talking about with Shin. And Thrawn does not represent that power from that person. I think it's like what they've discovered, what Ezra did, and this pathway and access to this galaxy, other powers, other relics, or whatever it might be. I think he's referencing something more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, untapped resources. So, okay, transitioning a little bit here, we'll be weaving back in the conversation about Baylan Skull and Shin, because they are some fascinating characters, and I love it. Cameron has sent us the message, and he wants to know, we're talking about Marak. Who is he? Who is this person? And again, like as I said, Shin says it so much cooler. How does she say it? Marak.
Marak. I don't know.
It's cool. But he says, so Cameron's thinking Starkiller, but a way more toned down version. Vader's apprentice, though, just not as absurdly powerful like Starkiller was in the games. Just a reimagining of that character that works in the current Star Wars lore. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if he was right. If that was something, because you do have the actor who, for that video game, and just for Lottie and for those of you who don't know, to kind of fill in, Starkiller, or Galen Marek, was actually, hold on a second. Look at how you spell his name. Galen Marek. Marak.
Wow. I was trying to read it backwards.
look at how close that is, though. M-A-R-E-K.
Yeah, and someone
spelled Marrok. Am I right about that? Look up his name and see how it's spelled.
Marrok. You said it right. Yeah. You spelled it correctly.
So all they've done is they've added an extra R and they've changed an E to an O. So Galen Marek.
Yeah.
And then now you've got this character called Marak.
Yeah.
That's him, guys. I'm sorry. That's our guy. That's Starkiller, if you will. Starkiller is the clone, but like this is Vader's apprentice. This is who he trained. And Sam Witwer, who played that character, so the actor who played him, is listed in the credits. It's him. Mm-hmm. And as Cameron said, it's a much more toned down version of him, possibly. And he was someone who was maybe one of the last Inquisitors that Vader was training before, kept in the shadows, possibly, and went on missions for Vader. Who knows, right? I'm not sure. Maybe he was sent on some mission and didn't come back. I don't know, right? But they seem to know him, and he's masked up here. there's going to be a big surprise, a big reveal who this person is. And if it is Sam Witwer, I'm going to lose my mind because he's a great dude, and I've loved him. And he's in Smallville. He plays Doomsday. He's an awesome dude, and he does great voices, just knows a lot about Star Wars, and the fandom loves him. So I hope that is the case. I hope to God in some way he's Galen Marek, or Marok, and they've distorted his voice and everything. Yeah. So he's the big mystery. Yeah. Like, who is he? And there's been theories that he's Ezra Bridger.
People have said
he's Ezra Bridger. People have also said before we knew whether that character was male or female, it was sort of this, like, could it be Barriss Offee, who Ahsoka had a history or past with, and then Starkiller has been the big one.
I mean, that would make sense for her to fight that, to be challenged by that person, since she was Anakin's apprentice.
Yeah, absolutely. So she's Anakin's apprentice, and this would be Darth Vader's apprentice, and that's the same person. So you have apprentice versus apprentice, sort of, right? Yeah. And right now, he hasn't seemed like the big-time challenger. He hasn't seemed like, as Cameron said in his transmission, it's not like that he is this super powerful guy that we see in that video game.
Yeah.
And maybe he just hasn't been using his powers. Maybe he's just sort of been like, I'm going to do enough. I've got respect for this other Force user, and I'm just playing in a certain capacity or this role. But who is he really working for? Is he working for Morgan Elsbeth more, or is he his own independent agent? Is he friends with Baylan Skull? How do they know each other?
Okay.
Right? He has an Inquisitor's Blade, which means that he could have been a part of the Inquisitor squad, which Vader was in charge of. And then his name is spelled super close to how Galen Marek's name is spelled.
Right.
So I'm sitting here going, I won't be surprised at all. That's awesome. That would be awesome. So
he's played by Witwer?
Sitwer. Yeah. Wow. Say that again.
Witwer.
He is played by Sam Witwer. Yeah.
Yes. And that person was the voice of Darth Maul?
Mm-hmm.
Too?
In the Clone Wars. He voiced a lot of different characters,
okay.
I think.
I'm just trying to find out, who he is. Who plays him.
If you look at his face, if you pull him up, like right here is who he played in the video game. You can kind of see.
Okay.
Yeah, that's him. They made two video games. There's a book about him. It was a big deal back before Disney bought Star Wars. People love this character.
Give me a percentage. How sure are you that Marok is actually Starkiller?
I tell you live on the podcast that hadn't dawned on me that his last name actually sort of matches. And now I'm like, that's him.
Like 80%, 99%, 100%.
I'm 90% sure.
Okay.
I'm 90% because it fits in with Ahsoka. Ahsoka being Vader, Anakin's apprentice. It just fits.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. If you're going to do something, you want a surprise element like that. Like that would be really cool. This would be something that would sort of force her to face her past.
Yeah.
To face her master's dark side apprentice.
Yeah.
She represents the light. He represents the dark. And you know, we've got white blade on red blade. I mean, it's just set up to be really symbolic and paralleled. I think it's 90%. I might even be working my way up to 95% at this point. It's just the more I talk about it, I'm like, that's him. Holy smokes.
That'd be so cool if we would find out in the next episode.
Yeah, they do say, so that was kind of the spoiler out there, is that people say his identity is revealed next episode. So,
well,
I hope
I'm excited.
Me too. Yeah. All right, awesome. So that was cool. And other things that kind of went down this episode, we got to see just a little, as Hera is talking about the problem they're facing, they all thought Hera was going to go on this mission with them, get the crew back, get a task force from the New Republic. Why not, right? I mean, there's a threat.
Yeah.
Grand Admiral Thrawn's out there. And the politics, you see them at play. You see how easily they quash this sort of stuff.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. Yes.
Remember what I said when we were watching the episode for the second time?
Yeah.
And it was I was questioning, like, why is Mon Mothma was in the rebellion? She was a leader in the rebellion.
Yes, ma'am.
And now she is the new chancellor.
She's the chancellor.
So first of all, what did she tell the rest of them? So the other senators were kind of like against it, and we're like, Hera, you just want to, it's just for your own cause, your own quest to find Ezra Bridger, and they play it down, and she couldn't really go against it. She's not a ruler. It's a democracy show.
Yeah.
But she said, Hera, can you leave us alone for a second? So what did she tell them?
Right.
And then second of all, it feels very much how they downplayed it. Like in the rebellion, that was the Empire.
Yeah.
Who were the same way. They were blind to make the connections between the different incidents that were happening around the galaxy. And they said, there's no bigger,
plot
or like someone who pulls
mastermind.
The strings, the mastermind behind it. It, it's just coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing that's happening right now. The other way around, now it's the rebellion. That's the New Republic now, right?
Yes, that's right.
And now they're denying that there's a bigger mastermind behind the things that are happening.
It's, I'll go ahead and make a Harry Potter reference for you. It's a Cornelius Fudge situation.
Yeah.
You're in power. People are looking for you to do something. Mm. And you're like, oh my gosh, there is this threat. It's a risk. We're not 100% sure, but like we're almost in denial. We don't want to see all the different pieces coming together.
Yeah.
We don't want to look at the evidence super hard because then we have to face a reality that we don't want to be the reality.
Yeah.
Right? We're like, oh shoot, we're going back to war because this guy is bringing it.
And
we didn't choose this, but there is a guy in the shadows coming after us and we don't want to prep for that because it's not what we want. And I get it. It's sort of like, yeah, it sucks, but I mean, that's...
But Mon's been in the war, so what did she tell them?
I know. What did she say is very interesting. Like, did she try, and then she's just overruled because, again, all the politics and all the senators, these seem to be the most powerful senators, are against her, and that seems to be kind of the case, especially as we go into The Force Awakens. And once you move beyond the Ahsoka series, they will dismantle their military. They don't really... Like, Leia will sort of say, hey, the New Republic is not functioning to like resist and protect the galaxy from the First Order and all the bad guys.
Yeah.
So she then breaks off and forms her own resistance and like leaves the New Republic because they're so dysfunctional.
Yeah.
And right now Hera is operating in that dysfunction, trying to say, look, this, I've fought this guy before. This is this is
let's
definitely happening.
Another war from happening.
Yeah. They're whispering, like, the enemy believes he's alive. Not me. She's coming in saying like they're looking for Thrawn.
Yeah.
So if they're that interested in it and they're sending their resources to go find him and to go do these things, it must be legit. Like, people don't typically spend money and resources on that kind of stuff unless they really believe there's something there to invest in. And this guy's like, nah, sorry. This is a personal quest for you to believe that Ezra Bridger is still alive. And he's like, I hate to say it, but he passed. He is, you know, he did a wonderful thing. He took Thrawn off. His sacrifice is something the galaxy will never forget. And Grand Admiral Thrawn is dead. Ezra is also dead, and they're not coming back.
Okay.
And that's end of story. That's what he says. Because they don't want to face this. They don't want to, you know, even open the door to the idea that this guy could come back and unite the Imperial Remnant.
Yeah.
That's a scary thing.
Do you think there is an imposter among them, or...
Do I think one of those senators? Yeah, for sure. I think the lady just to the right, I don't know her name or have it up there, but she flat out, once they say these were Imperials, she's like, well, we have Imperials all the way up through the hierarchy of the New Republic.
That said, don't we have a choice? When Hera says,
we don't have
a choice. And she's like, don't we?
Don't we? Yeah. Good point. They do.
Yeah.
But she's, and so maybe we're being Yeah, I'm not sure. I think there is somebody there, though, that is a loyalist to the Imperial Remnant. One of them is a loyalist. And ironically, the guy who spoke to us, I forget his name, but his son will be a member. Like, he's in the Resistance cartoon. And the senator who was speaking and saying, like, hey, this is a personal quest for you to go find Ezra Bridger. Yep. He ultimately will die later on because of Starkiller Base will strike and
oh, wow.
Yeah, no, it's called Starkiller Base.
Okay.
Which is crazy, right? So it's the base that the First Order creates in The Force Awakens. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they fire at the New Republic and they take out the New Republic in one just swipe, just gone. And he's a member of that and they're gone. So there's that. Kind of sad.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Moving on. Just a couple more things here. So Jedi training forms Itachi.
Yeah.
Cool. I thought it was cool. And it was a really neat thing to kind of see the forms and to see.
Yeah.
Huyang out there with the different like sabers and going through like analyzing her strikes and it just was really neat. And this
I
is sort
the
of
scene too. Mm-hmm.
It's based on some samurai films that George is really inspired by. And I think that name even is one of the lead characters who is a blind samurai who is fighting some of the
like Kanan.
It's where they take that exactly like Kanan. Mm-hmm. And that's so it's where they sort of take that name from. And it's dropped in the episode. You have to listen to it carefully. Mm. But Zatachi or Zatochi is something that Ahsoka says, like, let's try this. And Huyang's like, it's too soon. What are you talking about?
Yeah. But I'm trying to remember right now. Was Kanan already blind when he tried to train Sabine a little bit? Was he still able to see? I don't remember right now.
Oh, shoot. Great question. Ask me on the... I had to pull
sorry.
It up.
Yeah. I was just thinking...
So, just to confirm, yes, Kanan is. He has already faced Darth Maul. He's already been struck blind, and he's wearing the visor when he trains Sabine first.
Wow, interesting, because she was she had such a difficult time with Kanan as her master, because he already had that different perspective of, I'm blind now. I mm-hmm. have to use the Force to see every day.
Right.
At all times.
As Yoda will say, like, the Force is his ally, and it's a powerful ally. And so once he, you know, was able, like his sight is gone, he then really leans into it even more, and because of necessity. And so, it's the Force then becomes your ally. And so he was definitely in tune with it, and coming from that perspective, and he was learning himself too. Also had to kind of come to accept where he was as a master. Does he have what it still takes to train, protect that group? Can he train Ezra? Can he pass on some things to Sabine? So really cool connection now, actually. So love it. Great question. Yep.
And I liked when Sabine seemed to make many, many progress throughout that scene. So first of all, she's very wild, like wildly just swinging her her sword around, her stick around. Yeah. And she tried to listen more and also feel Ahsoka's presence more. And then you could see there's some movements where it seemed like she could almost like sense her at the end, her intention.
Yep.
But then she got a little angry again.
Frustrated. And
That's when Ahsoka said, anger gives us quick power, but it unbalances you.
Yes. That was really good. If you look at, it's really small things. Yeah. And you as the audience have to interpret it. Like, first, it seems like she has no idea where she's at. And then as it goes on, you're like, oh, once in a while, she gets a glimpse of where Ahsoka is. Behind the visor, she's tuned in, and she's like, there she is. Mm-hmm. And you can feel, she can feel her intentions and blocks and does... And is able to kind of go back and forth with her. But then she gets frustrated the longer it goes on, and she taps in, and she's unbalanced by the end. Cool. So I thought it was cool. I hope people liked it. I that was a moment where I felt like you could sit with the characters more, and you just really got a chance to love them, learn about them. And we see them in animation a lot. So these are characters that I kind of grew up with and loved in Star Wars and enjoyed. And now folks who are more just coming in and watching... who haven't seen those things, they've seen them in memes or cartoons, or they know they're out there, but they don't really go watch Rebels or Clone Wars, and they don't really know that stuff. So now you need time to get to know these characters and who they are. So just because we know that Sabine is super kind of edgy and defiant and very, very bold and stern or whatever, we know that because it fits with the Rebels. So that's good for people who already know her, but then you got to let other audiences know who she is. So it's good. I see you wrote down Ahsoka spacesuit.
How did Ahsoka? I mean, first, do you want to build a little bit of context where we are right now?
Yeah. So basically, we're in the fight, and they're fighting Shin and Marok,
and they just spotted the ring. Hyperspace ring.
Yeah.
Where Morgan Elsbeth is. Yes. Very hard to say. Morgan Elsbeth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's there. And so they're disabled.
Yeah.
And Ahsoka says, what? Hey, got this.
Right. Sabine has to fix some problems with the ship. So she's trying to figure out how to fix the ship. And Ahsoka is taking it to another level. And she, in just within seconds, she gets her headpiece, gear.
Yeah.
Helmet. Is it a helmet? I thought they were born with it.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the helmet, the suit she puts on top of her head. Yeah.
And how did she do that so fast? And I was like, she must have used the Force to get in that thing.
Yeah,
so
or
fast.
It's something that just drops on, but it zips up all around. Yeah. So it's like the whole headpiece took a second.
It looked great, by the way. I loved it. It looks awesome.
Yeah. It's a great scene. It's a connection to Clone Wars a little bit as well, too, in terms of the mask and things that she...
I mean, very interesting. We don't see that very often, that the Jedi just fight in space.
No, that was cool.
Just get out and... She sliced that fighter in half almost.
Yep. It was great. And actually what she did too was she said, I'm going to distract them.
Yeah.
And instead of focusing on the ship and just shooting it, she was deflecting blaster bolts as well too.
Yeah.
But they also wanted, I mean, them, Shin and Marok being who they are, maybe more dark side users, they want to take her out personally.
Yeah.
Instead of just blowing the ship up, they center on her.
I think it was a good thing for them that it was Shin, because she was young and very impulsive.
Yeah.
Instead of Baylan. Baylan, I think he might have seen right through Ahsoka's plan and been like, no.
Yeah.
We need to destroy the ship.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And Shin got carried away.
Also, something that Dave does really well too is that a lot of times in Star Wars, these heroes come in.
Yeah.
And they would have just blasted through these fighters, no problem. But this is like. That's a problem. You're outgunned. You came into a territory where the enemy is prepared for you, and it's not going to be easy, and so it shouldn't be that easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they're just doing a good job of taking them into these you know, perilous situations. They think there's backup. There's not backup. Now you're on your own. Now what do? You have to trust each other. Your master has to become your master. The student has to step up. Yeah. Hu Yang needs to, I don't know what Hu Yang's going to be doing, but he's just hilarious. So yeah. Glad he's around.
And then they kind of fled.
Yeah, then they get away. The Purrgil show up.
To the planet.
Right.
They try to land on the planet, and all of a sudden, Ahsoka says, something's ahead. And Sabine says, a starfighter, or not a starfighter, but like other enemies, something.
Right.
She doesn't say anything to build suspense, and then we see them. The Purrgil.
Yeah. Space whales.
Yeah.
Space whales.
And Sabine's face, she probably connects... Purrgil, right, yeah. To Ezra. I mean, they and how in tune Ezra was with them.
Yeah. Yep.
So she did give Ahsoka that little smile, because Ahsoka was smiling at Sabine like, oh, that's awesome. See, the Purrgil are here. We're on the right track to find Ezra.
Yes. Yes.
And Sabine can't help. She also smiles, but for her, it was like shocking. She doesn't know what to feel in that moment, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Her smile was not as big as Ahsoka's, is what I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotcha. Yeah. I mean, it was a really cool moment, because you're like, yeah, we're in the right place. Mm-hmm. And there's something to this whole hyperspace lane.
Yeah.
Like, did they travel here and then they traveled to that galaxy? Or like, what was the path that the Purrgil took? And then why did they ever, is it a one-way street? Can they not come back this way? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah.
All the questions about where is Ezra? So, leading towards a big battle, though, in the next episode, right? So it looks like it's going to be a big showdown. They're going to kind of hunt them in the forest. And we've already seen some clips from the trailer where, like, Marok will face Ahsoka, it looks like, and then Baylan will face Ahsoka. Or maybe it's Marok and Shin facing Sabine. I'm not really sure. Maybe Hu Yang gets some lightsabers out there and starts facing... I mean, could you imagine? What if he did? What if he fought?
Can they wield lightsabers?
Look at General Grievous. Okay. General, he was half, it was cyborg, but you know, I mean, yeah, he was wielding the sabers. He knows Hu Yang at least knows the forms.
He
can wield four lightsabers.
I know.
So why not? Will we see Hu Yang versus Shin? And maybe he says to Shin, like, hey, sorry, your form's off, right? Or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, hopefully, maybe someone else showing up, too. I don't know. Is there any character that could show up, help him?
I've always thought Luke might show up, but I don't think so anymore.
And also, Ahsoka has two lightsabers, so she can take on two.
She can take them. Yeah, she's fine. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's often times where they're outnumbered and they're gonna fight their way through. Now, on to a big transmission. Okay, we'll get to some of your Grogu Sabine stuff end, maybe. But let's talk about Andrew's transmission. I want to read this to you guys and get your thoughts, because I thought he had some really cool connections. And again, you guys can always send these in to StarWarsHangout77@gmail.com, and I will read them on the show for you.
Let's hear it.
Knights of the Old Republic, Star Map, Scion, Night Sisters. Come on, guys. Hello, Ez and Lottie. Hope you're all doing well. I know I'm not the only one who sees it. The connections and the callbacks to the Thrawn Legends books, the KOTOR video games, the Yuuzhan Vong threat to the entire galaxy, even the tie to the new Thrawn book series where Thrawn speaks about the threat to an entire galaxy. This should really put what Luke says in The Last Jedi into more perspective. No one is ever really gone. The Night Sisters can create life. The Night Sisters can create life through death, which we have seen several times. Can Morgan Elsbeth be working for Palpatine to bring him back? Does this mean Maul can also be brought back? Could we see Mother Talzin again? Or Ventress? The possibilities here are endless. We know Ahsoka has died at least two times, and she is not gone because she needs to fulfill her destiny, whatever it may be. Sabine has been touched by the Night Sisters at the altar just before she received the Darksaber. We cannot forget how Sabine opened the gate for Ezra to enter into the temple through the painting when she studied the movements of the hands from the Mortis gods. Ahsoka herself is alive through the Force, directly from the daughter, one of the Mortis gods. I don't know what's going on, but I can tell you this. I am very excited. They are hitting all the different angles and levels of our beloved Legends material, adding in new mixes to make the story new and fresh. Something so small as the voice of one of those droids sounding like Kylo Ren, which I believe goes even deeper than we know with the connections to the scene in Rebels at the temple on Malachor. Here we see the ruins of a Jedi-Sith battle, which can also connect us to the High Republic book series. This is where Maul shows up before the Vader and Ahsoka fight scene. There's just so much to make connections to because of the vast collection of material. I enjoyed the start of the series. I'm very pleased with how well it's been done, and I didn't think I would have been disappointed, because all in all, Disney has done a great job for our Star Wars fandom and keeps it going strong. There will always be something that someone doesn't like. One man's trash is another man's treasure. I'm so grateful that we have the new material. Growing up, I never thought we would get this. That being said, I can throw out a prediction that's not really what I think, but maybe just some food for thought. What if finding Ezra is the wrong thing? What if he is gone for a bigger reason? Maybe he is to take the torch from Ahsoka when her time has come, and he's not ready to come back yet. Or maybe her time is coming near and the hand is being forced. Will Ezra become the guardian of the world between worlds, as I believe Ahsoka has been given this task? Or do I not have any idea what I'm talking about, because these guys who write this stuff are where they are because that's what they do. They're an extension of George Lucas, and I'm just an electrician who loves Star Wars. I'm just being coy here. I love Star Wars and everything about it, and I take it all in so I can enjoy it. I don't know what they have planned, but I'm in full force. And I'm truly excited about all things Star Wars, and know that the series will continue to be awesome as it has been so far. The galaxy keeps getting bigger and bigger, which I love. The live action Rebels crew is awesome, and it's cool to see Lothal come to life in live action. That's it for me now. No real content or theory, just some thoughts from the galaxy in my mind. Thank you again for your time, Master Andrew.
I'm always so amazed at how much, you know, I call you guys the real Star Wars fans. I'm also a Star Wars fan, but the
veteran
Star Wars fan. Thank you. How much you guys know, because I don't know all that legend stuff, and I love when you tell me though, because again, you're the lore master, and I love when you make these connections for me. And he threw out so many different names and places. I was like, wow.
Yeah, Andrew.
That's amazing,
Master Andrew.
And I think you guys probably enjoy the series so much more, just because you can make that little connections.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I've always said, and I've said it, I think, week one as well, like, if you're going to bring in, you need a name for a new character, or you want to incorporate something into your show, and you just need a new name or a reference or something, there's something there in Legends that is, one, going to feed the Star Wars fan base, and they're going to be like, oh my God, I know what that is. Like, I'm rewarded for having read those, and you just feel like, this is awesome. I've been a fan since whenever, and that is cool because I can connect with that.
Yeah.
And then a new audience who doesn't know, just as long as it fits in the story, and it's not just like forced in there.
Right.
You know, because that's the problem, is that sometimes you get these things that
you
are
feel
just
like it's forced, yeah.
Yeah, they're just fan pleasers, and it feels really clunky and out of place, and it's not like, you know. That's the thing. Like, when there was a reference to the Phantom Menace, for example, in the first episode, when Shin is sending out the probe into Lothal, it's very much like Darth Maul, but like, it's not exactly. It's not like a carbon copy. It's subtle, it's different, and you only catch it if you've watched that scene a lot and you're a big Star Wars fan. But for everyone else who hasn't seen it, they're just like, that's cool. She sent in this little probe droid thing and like found Sabine and Ahsoka, and that seems to work. Yeah. So it's neat. I agree with you that, like, it's a nice, when you can blend those two, that's sort of like your bliss point. It's just and especially when it tells a good story, and you stay centered on that. Because if it's not, if it's going to distract from the story and just sort of feed like this Easter egg, you know, basket full of Star Wars references, like, that's not what we want. You know, we want a good story. So he does bring up a really good point about the Yuuzhan Vong here, the threat from this other galaxy. And that's what I kind of talked about at one point. There is, in Legends, I mean, this was the thing, another galaxy invaded our galaxy. Like the Star Wars galaxy. And they come in, they operate outside of the Force. Like, Force users have a hard time fighting them. And you're like, wait a second, our greatest warriors, our Force-sensitive Jedi, they can't use the Force against these individuals. Mm-hmm. How are they going to beat them? You know, like, what's going to happen? Like, it just was nuts. And Thrawn does something similar with Yis Lamari, like these voids in the Force. So I think they are maybe making some connections to this. And then, all the Night Sister stuff. And can you bring people back from the dead? And then are people still animated? Can they come back again? The world between worlds, will we go back and see alternate realities? Like, we were talking about earlier, like the power that Baylan is talking about. Is he talking about access to this gateway?
Yeah.
The world between worlds. Is that something he's...
But then you would think, why isn't he more after Ahsoka? Does he know that Ahsoka has done that? And it seems like Ahsoka is very cut off from that thing right now.
I know. And
she
I know
talk
Andrew,
about it.
Andrew said this, and I've thought about it too, which is like, okay, she definitely knows that it exists and was pulled into it by Ezra. She and Ezra know about it. That's like top secret stuff. You don't tell anybody about that, because you don't want them to know that they can gain access to it. So yes, she may be guarding it by not ever referencing it or talking about it, and it may not be a place that we go back to right away. But anyone who has studied, like, it seems like Baylan knows some of this story with Thrawn and Ezra this great event. So they've looked into it. And, like, what happened? And does he, you know, like, what? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how the world between worlds is going to really fit in here. If that's the power he's looking for, if it's something different. Is it something connected to the Night Sisters? Because they seem to have left it behind them. But I keep hearing about these scenes that are coming up where we're going to have an alternate fight between Darth Vader.
I mean, I would love to see, that the world between worlds. Because it's the Ahsoka series. And that's how Ahsoka was brought back. That's where we see her the last time in Rebels. Well, we see her with Sabine, but before that, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's how she, you're right, so that is how she is alive.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. Like, as Andrew said, she has died twice, essentially.
Yeah.
And people don't like to hear that, but I mean, I don't know. So I think she did die. It feels like she was brought back. She's saved by Ezra, and then Mor-I, the bird's there. The daughter's still animating her. There's something going on here. You want something really trippy?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Mortis gods, when they die, the father who dies, and this is this really strange world with these force wielders and stuff, he becomes one with the force. And he, so, like, he disappears.
Yeah.
His daughter, who gives her life for Ahsoka, we never see her body disappear.
Oh.
As far as I know, we don't see it disappear. And her life essence, as Andrew said, is animating Ahsoka.
Okay.
So there's some weird connection to a very powerful Mortis god still kind of going on.
Yeah.
And she has this spirit animal Mor-I who is following her around, like the little owl thing, right? Or bird. And it's just like, what does that mean? What does that symbolize? How does that play into the world between worlds? Her being resurrected or brought back, and then her also being brought back by Ezra Bridger.
Right.
There's something. There's a bigger thing here, and she's got a destiny to kind of fulfill. And I think she's way more in tune to that because she has faced death that many times.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. You guys can theorize away, but I just think it's like when you get a chance to look at that connection going on there, it's going to play a part in this story, in her story.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
I honestly can't even guess, though, like what it would be. So anyway, all right. But no, good things here, Andrew. I really like a lot of what he's saying about the treasure trove of all the Star Wars connections, like to the High Republic, to Rebels, to this now, and there's just tons of stuff going on there. And I totally agree with him. I think it's cool, and I think we're seeing tons of possibilities, tons of gateways being opened to galaxies, to people being brought back to a future in Star Wars. You know, one of the things that Lottie has talked about is like Grogu and Sabine and the future of Star Wars. And Grogu is the future of Star Wars. Rey has a new Jedi Order. You can see these individuals are not going to be associated with Luke Skywalker. Luke is not involved here. He's setting up his own thing. I hope there's an Adventures of Luke Skywalker series that they do. But there's another Jedi Order. Jason Syndulla will probably be trained by either Aunt Sabine or Uncle Ezra.
He would like to be,
you know,
he would like to be a Jedi.
He would like to be a Jedi.
Mom says, I know.
Right.
She didn't say anything.
I don't think he's going to Luke's Academy. He might. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he might leave there and do his own thing. I feel like they're the future. I feel like when you think about like the Rey series and Rey kind of coming back and making this new Jedi Order, these are Jedi who are being set up outside of Luke's Academy, less traditional, not following the ways of the old order and not going to stumble into the same pitfalls there. And they're going to create a new Jedi Order.
Yeah.
And they're kind of a part of that. We're seeing some of the foundations of that trickling upward, even though Rey will be an offshoot of Luke's training and Leia's training and so on, but she'll find these other individuals, be it Grogu or Sabine or whoever later on, and it'll be a big deal. All right, I think that we've gone this longer than I thought I was going to go. I told Lottie half an hour. It's 30 minutes, all we need, and I totally went an hour
longer. It was just so much fun.
Sorry.
To talk about all these little details. And I took us off track for a little bit with Obi-Wan and everything.
So. No, it's great. I hope, again, if you guys are enjoying the podcast, like, leave us a review, let us know, send us a transmission. But I do just like to rant and ramble. I'm just a huge Star Wars fan, just like you guys, and I just love to talk about it, and I love to find connections, Easter eggs, and then, you know, tell a lot of these things and help her enjoy the story more, or just ask her, what do you think? Because you're completely coming in with a different set of eyes and a different mindset, a different perspective and things, and that's what's really cool about Star Wars is that everybody can come to the table, to the Jedi Council, and share what they want, what they think. So,
yeah,
it's fun. It's great. All right. Hey, friends, again, we will be back. I think I have a special collaboration next week with Hoth Hangout. I'm going to try to get those guys on there on Friday. We'll probably do our quick little reaction on when, I mean quick. This was sort of a full review because we had time on the weekend, but we'll probably get like a 20, 30 minute thing out there to you guys, and I'll follow up with them and do a bigger sort of collaboration and get their thoughts on some of these topics. That'll be good for us. But if you want to, we're going to have some extra content. If you guys are interested in getting t-shirts too as well, check out the Patreon page there and go check out Master Badger, the YouTube channel there, and leave us a comment, subscribe, etc. I'm posting my Star Wars content over there now as well as everything else, and it's just a lot of fun. And thanks for all the support there. You guys are great. So
thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, friends, with that, we will be back next week. And as always, may the Force be with you.